June 16th, 2010, Los Angeles, California. Hi, this is PJ. Thank you very much for your kind words towards Mario as he gets ready the beginning of next week to fly to Paris. I'm excited about the trip, too. It's just as if I'm going with him. And no, to many of you that misunderstood, I've never been to Paris. I'd love to do that one day. I'd love to be able to have some money just to go there for a week to see the Eiffel Tower at night. I hear it is a beautiful sight with the lights and the big promenade area there. You know, I've seen it in movies my whole life, and it's just something beautiful. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk to you today as we begin this webcast, and I want to talk about that video clip that's been on about the, you know, the two girls feuding with the policeman and the policeman socking the girl. Talk about that a little bit. The frame of reference that I'm coming from is Romans chapter 13. And see, there I've done it again. I've gone to the Bible again, because that's where I pick up my cues from. It says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. For there is no power or authority but that of God. In other words, God has allowed that power and authority to be in existence. Okay, and then it goes on and makes a very important statement in that verse. He says that this power and authority has been ordained of God. It doesn't mean that if the power and the authority is a wicked police, state, government, that God had anything to do with it, but it merely means that God allowed that to take place. That's what it means. So it says, whosoever therefore resisteth that power, okay, that's a person that's resisting the power of God, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves condemnation. Now, what I like to do is I like to talk about this a little bit, because I think I need to break it down a little bit. Let me give you a little historical background. Let me fade this music out, because we don't need to hear that all throughout this. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to tell you a little bit of something about Rome. It was an imperial capital, the seat of the empire's civil government. Well, we know that Seattle, Washington is not, nor is Los Angeles. Washington, D.C. is. Every country has a seat of government there, and so the seat of that government is making things happen. As residents in Rome, Paul's initial readers were aware of both the glory of Rome and the shame of that very same city. In the days of Nero, he reigned from A.D. about 54 to 68. But they were also citizens of, if they're Christians, they're also citizens of another kingdom. See, we as Christians are citizens not just of the planet Earth here, the United States of America, but hopefully citizens of another country. In Philippians 3:20, it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we understand that. We also see in Colossians 1:13 about that citizenship, it says, for he rescued us, that is we Christians, from the domain of darkness. Let me say this right now. I know the NAACP and everybody else is behind these girls, and all the black leaders are saying that the Seattle policeman was wrong for socking that girl. But I'm going to tell you, he rescued me from the domain of darkness and transferred me into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, either I believe that or I don't. I don't know anything about the two young ladies' spiritual or religious background, but I'm just giving my shoe in as a Christian, and so that maybe some of you will know how you're supposed to respond when people come and ask you about this. Now, Paul had discussed the Christian's relationship to his government and civil rules. That's what he's doing in Romans 13, both in its length and specific details of discussion about that was a key in the New Testament passage. We can see that in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, where he discusses that, where he says, first of all, I urge you that treaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgiving be made on the behalf of all men. You know what he was saying to us as Christians, he was saying, you need to pray for people in government leadership. I know this sounds weird when you think about Obama and his abominations. You don't want to pray for him, but look what it says. It says, for kings, verse 2, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. And it says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. In other words, if you live like a Christian, there possibly could be some good fallout behind that. When you look at Titus chapter 3, verse 1, okay, Paul wrote to Titus and he told him, he said, remind them to be subject to rulers and authority. If the policemen tell you to come over here and stand over there and shut up, that's just what you're supposed to do. Come over here, stand over there, and shut up. See? And then it says in the Bible to be ready for every good deed. Now, you may be a member of the NAACP. You may be a member of the National Urban League. You may be all of that. But first of all, we are to accommodate Scripture if we're Christians. I'd like you to go to my website and read some statements about what some people think about how Christianity governs itself today. All right, so let me continue to go with this, and then you see exactly what I'm talking about. In other words, wait a minute, let me quote another scripture to you that I think is pertinent in this discussion right now. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 13. Want to look at that right quick. It says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Listen, now, it doesn't say, but if you black and if you grow up in a majority white America where racism took place and where you were hung as slaves and beat up and strapped, we can act any way we want to because we got us a black president now and we shall overcome. No. It says whether a king, as to the one in authority, or to governors, as sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. Then he says, for such is the will of God that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. See what I'm talking about? Look at verse 16 of 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil. He says, but use it as bond slaves for God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. See? Now, I'm not going to go on down into verse 18 because some of you don't like this, but you have to understand the culture of the Bible day back in the day when it says in verse 18, servants, be submissive to your masters in all respects, not only to those who are good and gentle, because some Christians back in the day were slaves. Now, a lot of black nationalist folk in this country don't like this verse because it says, look at this. How can you worship a God that would have your people in slavery? Well, if you want to have this talk with me, you can have this talk with me, and I'll talk with you about the context of the culture. I don't know whether you know it, but some 2,000 years ago, most of the people in that environment were slaves because most people didn't have nothing. And let me tell you something else. You know, we see that happening already in our environment over here. We have so many Hispanic people coming from across the border taking these jobs and everything here. Well, I don't see you un-Hispanics trying to take those jobs and do that. And you may call that slave labor. So any way you look at it, somebody's going to be somebody's slave. And I'm not affirming slavery either. As a black man, I think slavery, especially slavery that was done upon some of my people and in the Caribbean and in South America, man, because this caste law of the color of your skin and the grade of your hair was just a terrible situation. So I'm not talking about that. But let's come back down to our main text, Romans chapter 13, verse 1. says, let every soul, in other words, every man of you, every one of us, if we're Christians. Now, if you're not Christians, the Bible isn't written for you. I don't expect a non-Christian to adhere to the Bible. When those two girls shoved that policeman in Seattle, or the one girl, and then the other girl joined in. And why, sisters, are you so arrogant? And I don't know how some of you adults are raising your children to think that they can just arbitrarily, when law enforcement tells them to do something, I don't have to do nothing. My mama told me, your mama should have got booked with you. As far as I'm concerned, this is why our country is going to hell in a handbasket. Fooling around here thinking that you can say and do anything you want to do, and a law enforcement officer comes up to you, and please don't get it twisted. I know that if the government really goes into a fail-safe mode, they're going to use law enforcement to incarcerate the entire population. And then at that point, revolution starts. I understand that. I'm not a fool to my brothers that think I'm walking around like a monkey with my hands over my face. I'm talking about in a decent society where you have law and order. And trust me, I would not be in an environment without police. I've said it once. I'll say it again. Now, when it says to be subject to the higher powers, or to submit himself to the authorities that are above him, there will always be people above you. Now, then it goes on and says, for there is no power or no authority but that is of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. In other words, they have been ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, in other words, that authority that God has allowed to be in that state, all right? Whosoever resisteth that, so that he setteth himself against that authority, basically resist the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves, I like this, damnation or condemnation according to the old sense of the word, that is, not from the magistrate, but from God. In other words, it's not the magistrate or the policeman. All right, let me give it to you that way. You saw the video clip, right? It wasn't the officer's right fist that clocked that sister. That was God clocking her through the officer. Do you get it? This is what the text means. Now, you can hate the Bible if you want to. Most people that are not Christians, you got to hate it. That's what it is. It is God that clocked her, because there is law and authority, and God allowed that law and authority to be there. And so if you are backing these sisters, you believe in mayhem. Now, you know what? You may not like what I'm saying. You may not like the way I'm saying it, but I'm trying to bring it home to you, lest God clocks your behind. All right? Let's keep looking at this. Okay. Because that magistrate or that cop or that authority is being resisted. And so, therefore, there has to be something behind that. Now, you have to look at verse 3 now, because verse 3 says, for rulers are not a terror to good works. In other words, Rome, as this imperial seat of the government, everybody understood what a ruler's job was. In other words, a ruler was not, people were not supposed to go around rebelling against those who were in authority. You can't have that. You know, when it talks about you submitting yourselves to the governing authorities, the higher authorities, the basic reason is because those authorities have been established by God. Now, let me go back to that principle again and share a little bit with you. Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, it says, this sentence is by the decree of an angelic watcher, and the decision is a command of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind. and bestows it. Look at this. And bestows it to whom he wishes and sets over it the lowliest of men. In other words, God is the one that has established this particular rule and has given that rule to those governing authorities. Now, for those of you that are racist, you may not like people of other nationalities or of other colors. And you may think that, well, most policemen are racist. Well, let me flip the script on you. Let's say that the cop that was being confronted by two or three white women was a black cop. As a matter of fact, your son, or your husband, or your brother, or your cousin, or your neighbor. And let's say that the women were attacking him. And he was trying to tell them, step over there. And this woman comes up and pushes your son, who has a badge of authority on his chest, a good boy. This young man is about 28 to 38 years old, doing his job out there, putting his life on the line while you sleep in your house to keep things safe. You know, when things go wrong, who's the first people that you call? You call the popo, don't you? You call the popo. Now, your son comes by as the popo, and now you got these two white girls. I'm just flipping the script. And your son is trying to tell them as they jaywalk and try to get away from the situation. And your son tries to tell them, no, 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 don't do that. Come over here and get over there. I'm going to write you a ticket for jaywalking because you were wrong. And when you jaywalk, especially if you look at that video and you look at the intersection where all those children were, it looked like it looks like a bus route where buses come in. Well, you just can't walk in front of a bus lane and jaywalk like that. That's illegal. Because if the bus hits you, then you're sued. You really won't have to get up for the rest of your stupid, lazy butt life and go to work because now you're making some money for being an idiot. So the policeman, whatever the case was, it is illegal to jaywalk. Now, I know that, and if you're a citizen, go to school, they teach you that in school, that you don't jaywalk. But now you got some of these highfalutin people that think that they can do whatever they want to do. They can walk wherever they want to walk, talk in any kind of way they want to talk, do whatever they want to do, and just create mayhem and everything. But your son is up there, and he's trying to stop these two white girls from jaywalking. I'm going to put this right on you black folk out there that's going to follow the NAACP and everybody else now. And the white girl shoves your son in the chest, right where his badge is on his chest, and aggressively talking with him. And then a second lady comes up, and if you look at the video closely, the second lady's boyfriend or whoever it was trying to hold her back, but he did that in a weak way because what he should have did was got up in front of her face and hollered at the other sister and told her, you know what, you need to chill the hell out and do what the law enforcement officer tell you to do. Excuse my French. But he like some, you know, halfway sissified dude. You know, he ain't doing what's supposed to be done. Now, what would you expect your son to do in a situation like that? See, there it is. Because when the shoe is on the other foot, we don't want to wear it. Now, let's carry this thing further. You know, because in this Romans text, it's talking about those that rebel against authority. Therefore, the authority that they're rebelling against, in other words, literally, these people have taken a stand against that authority. That is what happened in that video. The young lady has taken a stance against that particular authority, against what God has instituted, because it's an ordinance of God. Such persons are thus actually rebelling against God and bringing civil and or divine judgment on themselves. This is what we as Christians believe and know to be true about that. Those who obey and do right. Well, that's a different story. We don't need to have any fear of the authorities. This is what verse 3 is saying. In fact, civil leaders commend those who do good. In other words, they give you commendations. That's why when you go to grade school and you're a good citizen in grade school, you don't talk, you don't start a ruckus in the classroom. They give you a certificate, don't they? They give you a certificate for doing right. But now, my God, in this society, you're doing wrong. And well, so let's define who these rulers are. It says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, to the good work, as the true rendering appears to be, but to the evil. In other words, rulers don't bring fear on people like me. When I'm in my car and I see a black and white unit, I don't get nervous and squeeze the steering wheel tighter. When I'm in my car and a black and white unit comes up behind me and pulls me over, I don't become frightened. Now, I will tell you this. If I were, and I'm just being real with it because I've been in the South when I've traveled in the South before. If I were traveling in the South and in a part of the country where there are practically no black people and I'm on a road at night alone, and two good old boys pull me over with the lights flashing, I do get a little nervous when there's no one there with cameras and street lights to look at me, because I know that some of these clowns who wear a uniform are completely out of their minds. Studies and stats have been taken that a lot of guys have become cops are very low on the intelligence level scale. They usually work in small police forces in these rural towns in the middle of the country. Now, I'm not coming against folk that live out there, but y'all know it's true. Old Jethro couldn't do nothing else, but he sure could become big boss man's little patrol cop. Put him in a shiny car with some shiny lights and a badge and a stick, and you got a dangerous, unleashed, thing on your hands. They have a video clip that a friend of mine reminded me of yesterday of some cops pulling a young teenage girl, white girl, by the way, by the hair, and kicking her and socking her and everything else. You got some cruel people on this planet. Some of them are wearing guns and badges and carrying billy clubs and sticks. Some of them are law enforcement officers. And I'm telling you, hey, I'm not lying. I know what I'm talking about. I've come in contact with a few. Just like you can come in contact with a few knucklehead preachers, you come in contact with a few knucklehead cops. There's a few knucklehead nurses. Remember those nurses that were killing those people in the bed? I mean, people come to the hospital to get well, and these fools was injecting them with stuff and killing them. You got psychopaths in every particular job in the human sphere. Why? Because we totally depraved. Now, let's look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, he beareth not the sword in vain. Now, this is the law enforcement agency. That's what they're talking about. He beareth not the sword in vain. Now, we want to look at that, okay? As a matter of fact, I want to read the whole verse because it says, for it is a minister of God to you for good, but do what is good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. It is a minister for God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Now, you know what? You may think, oh, I know you like that verse, huh? No, let's look and see what this is. Beareth not the sword in vain. That is, that's a symbol of the magistrate's authority to punish. The sword in this case would be the gun that the policeman carries in his wallet. And if it is not the gun that he is carrying in his wallet, it is the billy club or the stick or the taser. Are the handcuffs that he uses. He don't carry that stuff for nothing. You notice a police officer is dressed in a black uniform. In this case, in the video, light blue. Different departments has codes and rules. But that law enforcement officer, once you see him, man, I kind of like the LAPD black and white units have looked basically the same way since the inception of the department. black and white, with a city shield on the side of it, saying that we are protecting and serving. We know what that's all about. But wherefore he must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but for fear. In other words, of the magistrate's vengeance in verse 5. Now, on the other hand, he bears the arms. In other words, the sword, that's God's servant. That's God's hand or rule of authority to come against you. Second time in this verse, the Apostle Paul referred to the ruler in this way. Okay, and I'm going to go on down into it further. And you're going to see basically that this government official is seen as an agent of wrath. Because what they're supposed to do is they're supposed to inflict some wrath on you. So, there should be fear, or respectful fear, of the magistrate's vengeance or the policeman's vengeance. And that's what that was. Now, a lot of people say, well, he could have done it some other way. I'm sure that he possibly could have done it. But when an officer feels threatened, he's human too. Remember, we're not dealing with robots here. We're dealing with human beings. And let me help you out here for those of you that really don't understand it. See, the officer is trained in the academy he is working for government. Okay, a civil government that pays him, and he is paid to bring respect and dignity to that civil government. When he's riding around in that car, he isn't an arrogant twerp that should be respected because he just needs to be respected. No, he's riding around in that car, and he can tell a drug deal when it goes by. I was on the way to the Laker game with some friends of mine, and they saw a drug deal go down right in front of us on the major boulevard by some youngsters, right in front of us. Well, cops... Well, they saw it. I didn't see it. I was in the car with them. But cops are trained to see this stuff. And because the citizen buys them the uniform and the car. See, that's what your tax dollars are going for. That's what was really outrageous to me when I see some citizens stand up and say that the cops shouldn't have done that. Well, how should he have done it? Person is a grown person. My goodness. Well, let me give it to you like this. Verse 6 says that this cop becomes an agent of wrath. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Now, I love this verse because it says that they're agents of wrath. Government force properly used helps prevent tyranny and executes justice. I know you don't like, some of you don't like these words. But if we lived in a society without law and order, it would be chaos. Trust me, I couldn't make this webcast and put it up. You'd be driving over here to my house, shooting in my window and everything else. And I'm telling you, you better pray that in your lifetime, you don't see this country come to that kind of stuff. Man. So the government executes justice. It brings punishment on the wrongdoer. Now, a Christian has two reasons to be submissive to civil authorities. Number one, to avoid possible punishment, literally the wrath. And I like that because I don't want no cop beating up on me. And secondly, to heed his conscience, which prods him to obey God's ordinance. In other words, hey, I don't want him beating up on me, and I'm going to obey what my conscience is telling me to do. A Christian's responsibility to civil authority involves more than obedience. Okay, it includes support. I've already read it, by paying taxes. Now you may be saying, where is that in the Bible? You got to go to Matthew 22:21. Matthew 22:21 says, they said to him, Caesar's. In other words, you remember in verse 20, I guess we better start in verse 20. It says, Jesus said, wait a minute, I really want to start at verse 18. But Jesus perceived their malice and said, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used to pay the poll tax." And they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" In other words, Jesus had a coin in his hand, and he says, whose face has been embedded on this metal coin? And they said to him, "That's Caesar's image. That's Caesar's face." Then what did Jesus say? Then Jesus said unto them, "Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's." In other words, that's taxes. For those of you Christians that don't think that you should pay taxes, think you're a little twisted here. You better read your Bible. "And to God the things that are God's." And look with this, verse 22. "And hearing this, they were amazed, and leaving him, they went." Yeah, they had to went. They split, basically. See, because even some of you listening to me don't think you should pay taxes. That's why when a black and white unit pulls up in front of your house, you shouldn't be afraid. What are you afraid for? You doing something wrong? And this Bible was written 2,000 years before the LAPD was established. And it's telling you, if you didn't do nothing wrong, what are you afraid for? See, that's why we know this is a holy book, because this book would check your behind. But see, don't nobody in this postmodern era want to be checked by nothing and nobody. And I have children, personally, that don't want to be checked. Don't nobody want to be checked. Everybody want to do what the Hades they want to do. And they want to do it anytime they want to do it. Some of you that are my age, you have children like that also. I got my young son here, Mario, with me. Hey, we're going to have another argument one day. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to want to check him, and he's going to want to check me. But I hope that we ain't got to call no LAPD coming up here taking one of us away in shackles with red lights, and the neighbors see me coming out with a bloody face and are being drugged out on a darn gurney. See, man, I you know, black people get me. They're always talking about the po-po is this and the po. What did you do, fool? But I know how it is. White folk get me too. Because y'all are just as crooked and corrupt. Don't think that because you're white, you're right. And if you're black, you get back. Don't play that game on me. I know better. Now, let's look at this. Let's look at this. It includes taxes. So Jesus says that they pay taxes. This is because the leaders, as God's servants, and we saw that in verse 4, are supposed to give their full time to governing. So they need to get taxes from the citizens, Christians included. See, and some of you Christians say, "Oh, separation of church and state. We don't own no." You know what? I pay taxes on the money that I get. If people give me money for pastoring, which they do, and they don't have to, for those of you that don't believe that a pastor should receive enumeration for the services that they perform, you need to study and read your Bible, because a pastor is, man, the people are obligated. What does that verse say? "Thou shalt not muzzle the ox while he is treading at the corn." What do you think that means? Not going to sit here and say, "Well, you're right." I'm going to tell you the truth. You can go to my website right now, and there's a letter that a person wrote me, one of my students wrote me, since I teach philosophy. And I really appreciate Jennifer writing me that letter, because I'm a philosophy professor and I'm a pretty good teacher. That's why I put it up there. I'm not jiving. See, and I'm a better pastor. But I'm a kind of a pastor that's going to bring Bible the way I'm bringing this Bible thing on that clip that we saw. See, I'm a teaching pastor. I'm a pastor teacher. And it's important. So, a Christian ought to give everyone what is owed him. Literally, repay everyone his dues, whether substance, taxes, or revenue, or respect and honor. Those two girls did not pay those policemen respect and honor for the badges of the civility that they were employed under. I'm trying to give it to you plain. And you parents need to allow your children to listen to this webcast, and so that you can train or teach your children how to react or respond with governing authority. This is very, very important. For this cause, you rather pay tribute, that is, taxes. Also, that is, this is the reason why you pay the contributions requisite for maintaining civil government. For they are God's ministers attending continually. I know some of you racists out there are saying, that old peck of wood and all that kind of stuff, you know, you need to stop it. That old, you know, that's a project mentality. The project mentality. And some people take jobs and so that they can keep stuff going. I hope that after I die and leave the scene, that somebody will come and keep saying what needs to be said. Render therefore to all their dues. From magistrates, the apostle now comes to other officials, because all this stuff is related. And he says, whatever it is, by land tax, custom, mercantile tax, fear, reverence to superiors, honor, respect to the person of distinction. Now, that's as far as I'm going to take it, because that's as far as we need to go. If you need any more enlightenment about this issue, any more beyond what we've just studied in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, and there's a rendering for you. You notice all those other scriptures that I put in there? All those other scriptures are in complete agreement with what I've said. Pastor, teacher, your job is to do that. Your job is to just give what the Bible says. Don't be marching up and down the street with no signs in your hand. That's not necessary. The civil rights days are over. Trust me, you got a black man in the White House. So you shut up. Obey the government. Now, it would be nice if our black president would come and condemn the disposition of those two girls, wouldn't it? If we had a white president there and some white people came against the cop and the cop socked him, do you think that the white president would say those two white girls should have been socked? You don't be coming against no authority here. This is a law-abiding government. But no, Obama's not even going to respond to that. He's too busy doing something else. Now, you know what the Bible tells me? I got to pay homage to Obama. That's right. I got to pay homage to him. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to give honor to whom honor is due. Because the Bible told me to do it, whether I like it or not. And if Obama's limo pulled up in front of my house right now, in front of the Lucy Coleman studio, and I saw him getting out the car with some agents coming up to my front door, I said, Mario, the president's here. Hey, thanks for tuning in to the webcast. God bless you. Did I say that this was this is Wednesday. This isn't Thursday. It's Bible study night. That's right. Bible study night. All right. Let me get back to work. Thanks for coming to Los Angeles to listen to Pastor John. I love you, but you know the drill. Stay into the Word.